Zephaniah chapter 1. The word of Yahweh which came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai, in the days of Josiah, king of Judah. Well, in Josiah's time, there were apparently these great reforms going on. As you read the historical record, you get the impression that the great reforms that Josiah did, chucking out the idols and apparently turning everybody back to worshipping the true God, there was something missing there. And Zephaniah gives a lot more information. I will utterly sweep away everything from the surface of the earth, says Yahweh. Man and animal, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, and the idols along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the surface of the earth, says Yahweh. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, the name of the idolatrous and pagan priests, those who worship the army of the sky on the housetops, those who worship and swear by Yahweh, and also swear by Malcham, those who have turned back from following Yahweh, and those who haven't sought Yahweh nor inquired after him. So the problem was that, sure, they were worshipping Yahweh, but they were also swearing by their other gods. This has been the continual problem for God's people. You see it all through the Old Testament, and you see it in the church today, and you see it in your own life. The belief in God, and even the worship of the true God, and yet also having our own idols. Now, as we know, we don't have physical idols, but we live in a world full of images, and the idols are sometimes called images. Images that we worship. Or that house that I've seen advertised on the internet, that holiday, that car, whatever, that toy, that phone. And those things become idols. They come to dominate our thinking and our imagination. We, as it were, swear by Yahweh and also swear by Malcham, by one of their gods. And so Josiah's reforms appear to be wonderful. They all, with great enthusiasm, came and worshipped Yahweh, but you see here that actually things were not very good at all. They were still carrying on with these idols. Be silent at the presence of the Lord, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. It will happen in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, the king's sons, and all those who are clothed with foreign clothing. Well, Josiah's sons did go wrong. They didn't turn out too well. So all this talk about his reforms, as I say, was all rather hollow. In that day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. Jumping over the threshold was a kind of pagan thing to do in idol worship. In that day, says Yahweh, there will be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, a great crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the people of Canaan are undone. All those who are loaded with silver are cut off. It will happen at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and I will punish the men who are settled on their dregs, who say in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. So God's saying, I really do know all things. I will search Jerusalem with candles. In other words, in the darkest, most hidden places of the human heart, I'm searching. And I know that in your heart you say, Yahweh won't do good, neither will he do evil. Well, they never said that in so many words, but that was their thought. That sure, there is a God. They weren't atheists, but he's somehow distant. He's not going to act. They are settled on their dregs. It's like wine or fruit juice or whatever, some sort of compote that you make and it settles, and you make it and you leave it in the jar or in the bottle and it all settles down at the bottom. He's saying, you're comfortable, aren't you? You all settle down. But the call was to be stirred up and to get out of this idea that, yeah, God's not going to do anything. Not one way nor the other. We just got to live life each day as it comes. No, God is extremely aware of everything that you think. Their wealth will become a spoil, their houses a desolation. They will build houses but won't inhabit them. That's because they were going to be taken into captivity. They will plant vineyards but won't drink their wine. The great day of Yahweh is near. It's hurrying greatly. The voice of the day of Yahweh, the mighty man, cries there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, distress and anguish, trouble and ruin, darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and the high battlements. So they had strengthened themselves in Judah, they'd made strong cities and high walls, but they hadn't learnt the lesson that that's what the Canaanites did, Jericho in particular, but it all came down. And so the lesson again and again is that all human strength is absolutely meaningless in the ultimate picture of things. I will bring distress upon men so that they will walk like blind men, because they've sinned against Yahweh, and their blood will be poured out like dust. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath, but the whole land will be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make an end, yes, a terrible end, of all those who dwell in the land. So their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's judgment. And yet, the idea is that if you've got wealth, you can get anything, that money buys anything. But it doesn't. It can't buy you happiness. It's one thing I learnt in family life and in life generally, and I'm glad I learnt it fairly young, that money doesn't get you happiness. It simply doesn't. You don't need gold and silver to have a happy life if you're following God's ways. But people think that silver and gold can buy them anything. This is the biggest myth. It can't buy you eternal life. It can't save you from God's judgment. And yet, I think underneath, they had this sort of idea that my silver and gold will be able to deliver me. That, okay, if God sends attackers into the city and I'm attacked, well, I've got silver and gold, I'll buy the guys off. No, not at all. And so it is in life. And so it will ultimately be at the day when Jesus comes back. So don't focus on silver and gold like they did in Josiah's time. Don't have just an appearance of religious zeal for God, but focus upon him directly and personally.